Before we begin this week's show, I'm legally required to read the following. To whom it may concern, on behalf of my client, one T. Allen of Detroit, Michigan, and the office of Jonathan and Taylor and Thomas, PC, you must cease and desist any and all mentions on your show of our client, Mr. Allen, and his predilection for unorthodox canine affection. In future programs, any references to terrier touching, poodle pumping, Labrador loving, dachshund diddling, or corgi cuddling will be unacceptable. These words and any other terms for dog raping are not acceptable. Failure to comply will result in harsh legal action. Furthermore, my client would like to add, thank you for your swift compliance.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Welcome back to another episode of the Total of Hell Radio Show. It's your boy, Joe Thrash and Kill, bringing you the hottest hits of gore grind, death metal, porno grind, and other genres that are completely unlovable. I'm with today with 365 Days of Horror and Brennicide. How's it going, fellas?
You know, just as good as always. But I decided to finally take the plunge and get myself inked up, bro. I'm gonna get a tattoo next month.
You gonna get hella tatties?
Hella tatties. Yep. I'm gonna be just specifically so I can buy that goofy t-shirt you see around online that says chubby, bearded, and tatted.
My favorite is inked and employed. Like, that's a huge accomplishment that I have a tattoo and a job.
Yeah, how dare you discriminate against me for my $1,200 worth of artwork that I paid for.
Yeah, it is just the same as being an African-American that I got a swastika tattooed on my forehead.
Right.
What are you going to get?
Well, I don't know yet. I'm going back and forth with the guy. I kind of wanted to just get like a cool sort of dead tree tattoo, to put it very simply. But I just don't really know. He's an insanely talented guy, and he was the one that they stuck me with to talk to. So I have to talk about him with price. I don't even know if I'm going to go with it at this point, because I think he might be a pretty penny. But I don't know. We'll see how it works out.
Where are you going to get it?
On my asshole. No, I'm going to get it kind of like the half sleeve area, I was thinking. Just kind of let those roots and let those branches just sort of black metal out or all around my nasty body.
You gonna get it colored?
No, not at all. Because that's not metal.
My advice on this is really work with the artist. If he's been doing this for a long time, he knows what he's doing. A lot of people will just tell a guy, I want this, and then just stick it kind of in an awkward spot, and you're left with a weird looking tattoo in a weird spot that doesn't fit the flow of your body. So, tell him to make that shit fit and conform so that you it looks natural. Because there's nothing weirder than like seeing a dork, in other words, just have rando tattoos covered like stickers all over them.
I get it. I see how you guys see me.
No. I mean, other dorks, not you.
Other dorks besides this dork.
Yeah.
Getting shit pasted on his body. No, I totally get what you're saying. I was going to start off with something small, but as I talked about it, I didn't want anything small. I couldn't think of anything. Tattoos are real stupid, you know?
I think it's a huge mistake that everybody does. Getting their first tattoo is a small one. No, go big, bro, because you're just left with like a little fucking doodle on you that looks like shit, so go big or go home.
Hell full yeah. Phoenix across the back.
That's right. I'm going to get the entire Queensryche album, Mind Crime, on my back so I can take my shirt off at shows and show everybody.
Yeah, I did the dumb thing. I just started off with my last name, Thrash and Kill, in Old English letters across my shoulders.
Damn, that's sick.
Yeah. I'm just gonna get Brennicide. Getting a band tattoo?
No, never. Because next thing you know, I'm gonna get a band tattoo, and the band is gonna have someone in it who's a dog rapist. You know?
Yeah.
Not Tim Allen though. Somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, it's a common thing, I guess. Jordan, you would never consider a band tattoo?
No.
Nah.
I never consider any tattoo. I'm not getting a tattoo.
I've got a Wu-Tang tattoo and an Iron Maiden tattoo. Not the words Iron Maiden, just a big-ass Iron Maiden.
Right. Yeah. So is it... So like the coffin with the nails in it.
Yeah.
Well, what you need to do with that one is get a tattoo under it that says not the band, but the actual torture instrument, and then underneath that, right? But I do still like the band.
Right, there you go, and make it two totally different sessions with two totally different artists
who write different colors.
Right.
Yeah.
Have get one in like a Judas Priest font and then like a Black Sabbath font. Really mess with people.
See, the thing, I stop caring about anything as I get older, unless, you know, I only want things to be funny, so I'm really leaning on maybe doing something like that now. It's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Yeah. She got a tattoo of Tim Allen.
Behind prison bars.
It's tool time.
Shout out to Alex for making the funniest Photoshop I've seen in a while of Tim Allen's mugshot when he got popped for cocaine trafficking with behind bars with German shepherds wearing bras.
What I want to know is, why were they floating? Was it just he was fantasizing about them and he didn't get to do it anymore?
Yeah, I think that was exactly, yeah.
Too bad.
Well, when so do you have any kind of a price point on what you can expect on the tattoo?
It's tough because I'm kind of going in blind, you can just pay so much or you can pay so little when it comes to any kind of work. Sometimes you'll get amazing artists who will do it for nothing, and sometimes you'll get shitty artists who'll do it for way too much. So I'm just kind of throwing. It sounds like I'm going to have a full session's worth of work. For this one tattoo I'm getting. So I was like, look, man, I'll just throw $800 out there. But if it's more than that or less, like, just talk to me about it. But because I hate it when people ask me about what I want for a budget, because I know I could get so easily screwed by putting a number out there.
I mean, I don't think any of mine costs over $800, and I've got a couple of real big ones. So you should be fine.
Yeah, we'll see.
But that's the thing. I would love to get more tattoos, and I can't afford it because they're real expensive, and I have things to take care of, like dogs that are trying to kill themselves and ACs that desperately want to die.
For sure. It was just I told everybody that I was never going to get one, but I think the reason I never got one is because, like, I just never wanted to put a tattoo on, like, my, like, fat, out-of-shape body. But then I just told myself, fuck it. I'm just going to be this way, so I might as well do what I want at this point. 100 pounds, 50 pounds, 30 pounds, be damned. I'm just going to put that shit on.
And that's another thing. Like, I want to get, like, super ripped before I get completely covered, you know? And
that was the idea, you know, that I would just have an Adonis body covered in sweet, sweet ink.
And then I realized, like, well, I'm 30, and it's probably not going to get any better.
Like downhill from here.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, what have you had going on?
Not much. You know, usual. I have been navigating the wonderful world of auto insurance. I don't know if either of you have had to deal with that.
Yeah. Nope.
What?
So do you just not have insurance, or is it just taken care of?
Jesus is my insurance policy.
That might not hold up in court.
Is that a thing in Texas you guys can drive without insurance?
No, it's required everywhere, man.
Oh.
I've had the same co-op insurance since I was 16, so I'm never going to change.
Okay.
Yeah, I've just been holding on to insurance, like, through my dad in a different state, and now I'm just trying to get everything settled where I live now, and it's just a labyrinth of complicated issues just because the insurance in that state just isn't in my state now, so I have to get something else. So I'm going to all these different places getting quotes, and some of them are just, like, way, like, out of proportion. And I went to one, I won't say the name of it, but let's just say Peyton Manning is their spokesman. They offered a discount if I let them put a device in my car to track, like, how much I travel, if I stop short, like, all this sorts of stuff. And as the agent's telling me this, like, I'm starting to feel worse and worse, like, just my mind wandering of like, what? Well, I don't want this. This sounds terrible. When the agent finished, I'm like, that's optional, right? Because I don't want to do that. It's yeah. just like, I can't believe people are just like, yeah, sure, I'll take $10 off my bill so you can sell my data to every known advertiser everywhere.
Seriously. And they just about all do that now.
Oh, yeah, it's fucked up. And, like, my health insurance is, like, trying to get me to do this thing where I'll get bonus prizes if I, like, get a Fitbit and all this extra yep. tracking shit to see if I'm, like, smoking and drinking and exercising. It's like, you can take this surveillance and stick it up your ass. Like, in a just society, this insurance wouldn't exist anyway. Like, yeah. you are just leeches, and now you're trying to get into my bedroom, and I'm not having it, man. The same thing with Alexa. Go fuck you. Go fuck yourself, Alexa. I'm not trying to have something listening into me at all times.
Yeah, if I could probably see that if we did have socialized healthcare, like if because the government's tracking everything we do anyway, so it would only make sense. But to actually give this power,
the government is. I think it's mostly like private companies that are doing these things. Like unless you think Humana or whatever big HMO is sharing stuff with the government too.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is that private companies own the government, so it's all one big circle, I guess.
Yeah, but that's fair. I mean, if here's the deal: if I get free healthcare, you know, free in quotation marks, you know, we all pay into one big pot. I will absolutely wear the stupid ass Fitbit because that's worth it to me, rather than like having to spend so much of my paycheck on health insurance that doesn't even cover my healthcare.
I would mosh more too.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I would just live life.
Take your Fitbit and attach it to one of your dogs.
That's a pretty good idea. That is a great idea. I see today that you ran 30,000 steps.
You really like drinking out of the toilet.
I don't know if they're that complex, but they might be. I haven't fucked with one. Obviously.
I'll tell you who could have used an activity tracker to tell him to not play on escalators. Folks, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Rest in peace, Josh Martin, formerly of Anal Cunt. Josh died last week when he was fucking around on an escalator at a mall and fell off, which is the most fitting way that a member of Anal Cunt has ever died.
He died strangely the way he lived, loudly and pointlessly.
Strangely appropriate.
Yeah.
And God, wasn't he like a 50-year-old dude? Like,
yeah. Lightning?
Yeah. 45 years old. Like, what are you doing?
Like sliding on a fucking escalator railing.
I hope we never lose that joie de vivre as we enter our 40s and 50s to the desire to dick around on an escalator like an annoying teenager.
This is all funny to me because the mall that he died at is like a 10-minute drive from me. And like, He fell off the escalator and hit a table in the food court. I know exactly where that happened. And at the top of the escalator, there's a movie theater and there's a Dave and Buster's. So I'm theorizing he got drunk at Dave and Buster's.
Hell yeah.
Oh, even better. Even better.
What
movie do you think he wanted to go see, though?
Avengers?
Was he going up or was he going down? You know, I think that's also.
Can you ride up? Have you ever seen anyone ride up an escalator?
Yeah, you
just sit there, I know, but.
I mean, everybody rides up an escalator, Jordan.
Yeah, but sitting on the railing, I've never seen that. Going down, that makes more sense, but.
Look, if someone could try it, though, it would have been this young chap who was taken well before his time, undeservedly. So.
Well, I will say that. All of the this silly anecdotes that we've shared about Anal Cunt on this podcast, most of them came from Josh Martin, who had commented extensively on what was going on when he was a member of the band and when things were being recorded. Almost all of them on in comments on Mark Prendel's old blog. So thanks for the insight and for all the weird shit over the years. But yeah, man, I was looking at some news story about this, and apparently Like, two other people have died on that exact escalator over the years. When will this escalator violence be stopped?
And it would take minimal effort to probably repair what causes people to die. I don't know, like some sort of ridiculous looking fence or wall that they put there. I don't know what the escalator looks like.
I just assume it looks like an escalator.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to like picture how far up it goes, where it's located.
Far. It's an escalator that goes from a food court up to a second level. It's not that big. The guy was, like they said, messing around and fell off. I do not know if he was on substances. I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm telling you, man, they got to stop heavily lubing that escalator rail. Like, that's a big mistake. But yeah, he's dead now. You fell off an escalator and died. Good Anal Cunt song.
It is, yeah. It's my favorite. Oh,
sorry, comma, you're gay. There we go.
Yeah, right.
What else has been going on this week?
It hasn't been a good week for metal health in general. A 52-year-old man just died at a Ghost show a couple days ago.
Boredom strikes again. sorry, what happened there? I think
he had a heart attack in the middle of the pit and died, and they stopped the show.
That's unfortunate. Where was that?
Let's just say Milwaukee. I don't know.
The band actually stopped the show early. Acted real upset about it. I don't see the point in that. Like, the show must go on, you know? Why let things get you down like that?
I imagine it's pretty fucked up for all the people around that guy to just watch a dude die, but, I mean, I wasn't there. Maybe they were like, I don't care about this. I just want to hear them play that one song that sounds like Scooby-Doo.
Right. Well, what kind of fans are you in Ghost? What kind of metal fans are you if a dude can just die in a show and you're all bummed about it? Come on.
Well, it's not really a metal show now, is it?
That's what I'm saying. The Metal Sucks should stop covering it, and we shouldn't know that we're talking about it. Or we shouldn't know about the situation to be talking about it. It should be covered by, like, Rolling Stone or some
I saw...
I'm sure it was.
Metal Text put something up on Twitter last night. He really got to the core of, I guess, what I find so baffling about this band, why I'm not super into it. It's just, he said, the singer of Ghost sounds like Weird Al Yankovic. And I'm like, that's it. That is exactly it. Those weird deadpan vocals.
God damn it. Now it can't be unheard. He's absolutely right. he's dead fucking on. Like, I just picture... like 80s or 90s era mustachioed Weird Al with his like short perm era. the quintessential the Weird Al Yankovic era, and well, I just picture him dancing in the Rats video and sing along, and it fucking fits like a glove.
Someone needs to take that song and just put like Weird Al accordion over it and see how it matches up.
Oh, that's a good idea.
A challenge to all our listeners, someone do that.
Yeah.
Real talk, man. Like, UHF is one of the greatest movies ever made. It's a shame that Weird Al only made that one movie. He needs to make a return to form.
Why did he fucking stop there? He could have made so much more. That shit was, like, Oscar-worthy.
Oh, yeah. Plus, if he makes another one with the same cast, like, he can rejuvenate Michael Richards' career. Yeah.
Well, also, Victoria Jackson, his love interest in that movie, is off the deep end Tea Party, so sure, why not?
Man, I don't think that's just Tea Party. I think she's legit insane, man. Like, the little voices bit talking to her and stuff, yeah.
Comes with the territory.
Maybe Weird Al is what turned Michael Richardson in racist and Victoria Jackson insanely racist.
Wouldn't that be great if Weird Al just had like the most fucked up opinions behind closed doors?
It's like, thanks for coming out to my show, everybody, except for those Jews. Well, I guess Yankovic, he might have something to say about that.
some sort of strange racist self-hatred.
Yeah, I don't think he's Jewish.
No?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, you guys keep talking. I'm going to research this.
Google.
Yeah, challenge, is Weird Al Jewish or racist?
Let's see.
I mean, there's been bad health stuff. One of the guys from Venom just had a heart attack this week too.
That's right. Oh
yeah, Mantis. As a part of, not a part of Venom now. He's a part of, what is it, Venom Inc.
Yeah, Venom Inc. Which is a is an interesting trend of grown adults who can't fucking act like it in bands, where they have to add some stupid extra word and continue on as a group in order to stick it to the guy who has rights to the actual name, who also still performs and does things under the name. So
I am Morbid.
Right. Same shit. Different asshole.
Operation Mindcrime featuring Jeff Tate.
Featuring a sweet leather vest.
Two LA Guns touring simultaneously.
That's right.
You wouldn't think that there would be enough demand to see one LA Guns. LA's Guns. Sorry, that's the proper.
LA's
Lost LA's Guns. Gun.
Yeah.
Uno
right, so, Pistola.
So apparently Weird Al is a Christian, and such. He actually refrains from alcohol, tobacco, drugs, and profanity. Did not see that coming.
Sounds like some conservative nonsense to me.
Vegan too.
Yeah, even worse.
Now I kind of want to hear Weird Al curse a lot, because I don't think I ever have.
I remember back in like LimeWire days, there were lots of parody tracks, like dirty parody songs that were improperly attributed to Weird Al, because everything is a lawless hellscape. And he's like, well, he would actually never say any of those things at all, so definitely not.
I remember there was a Motorhead song that people titled Fuck Metallica, and it was just Motorhead doing Enter Sandman. And so a lot of people went around thinking that, you know, Motorhead had it out for Metallica and named their cover of a Metallica song Fuck Metallica.
I assume that a lot of people are just, you know, they never got corrected, so they still believe that the Butthole Surfers did detachable penis instead of missile. Yeah. They're just living their lives being wrong. Nobody's correcting them.
I had My Name Is Mud track by, of course, the group that did it, Mr. Bungle.
right. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's tight.
Strange times. Yeah, man, we got to get LimeWire back. It's what we're saying. We got to start, like, stealing music in the shadiest way.
I mean, just out of... I feel that way about, like, Metallica stuff. Like, I don't really care to listen to any of the new stuff at all, but every time they put out something new, I'm going to download it illegally out of spite. I'm probably not even going to listen to it. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, and it's like the second it gets released, it's on Spotify anyway, but you could just not do that. You could just download it and risk getting in trouble.
Oh, yeah, we got a comment on our last show from Spear, who said that he works for... an ISP, and
That's right.
Definitely still like send cease and desist letters and prosecution against people who won't stop all the downloading. So turns out that's a thing that still exists.
Yeah, but that's what I think. That's just what you get, is you just get that letter. I don't know if it actually does anything.
I mean,
I don't know if they actually like go to the authorities about it. I think they just put the fear of God into you with this nasty letter.
I don't know. I mean, the RIAA is probably desperate for money. We'll take it wherever they can get it, including suing, you know, some 14-year-old child.
True.
gotta have that paper. Anyway, I completely forgot where we were going with this. Jordan, you sent me a thing this week of another feller. Who decided to go country very much in the vein of David Vincent.
Yeah, was that guy? The guy from Godhead, the vocalist from, I mean, geez. You talk about levels of nu metal, like first string, like Korn, Limp Bizkit, that sort of thing. Second string, maybe like, who would you say would be like a second?
Il Nino?
Il Nino, sure. Static X, Il Nino.
Godhead
were like... third level, like I think their only song that ever made any sort of noise was a cover of Eleanor Rigby.
Wow.
Yeah, and Taproot, I'd say second level. They had a hit with Poem.
Yeah. Hmm. And then anyway, that was it.
Well, that's all you needed back then. Right. God had never had, you know, one real hit. But anyway, the vocalist, so
they're most often credited with being the only band signed to Marilyn Manson's short-lived vanity label, Posthuman Records. That was their claim to fame.
Fun. So now the vocalist is like putting out outlaw country music, which is super weird to me because who wants that?
I don't know, man. Is there a hidden contingent of new metal fans that are like, you know, the bounce riffs are nice and all, but what I really want is some really shittily played slide guitar?
I don't know. Maybe it's like trying to get a weird Midwestern contingent fan base with that.
That's gotta be it. That's gotta be how it is.
They used to be aggro teenagers from Nebraska, and now they're older and have four kids, and they just want to hear songs about their pickup trucks and get the guy from Godhead's there to fill the void.
I think the unfortunate circumstance is that country is really the only place where artists make big money these days and make big album sales still in parts of the country.
Yeah,
everything else is just, even pop music is so funneled into the streaming generation that pop artists probably don't make as much money as some big country artists do.
I mean, country music is a huge thing all over the United States. Like, I remember reading that Florida Georgia Line, two fucking
dorks.
Bellends, like they sell out like multiple dates at Madison Square Garden. Like whenever they play there, like they do back to back to back dates, all sold out in New York City. So you know, it's a thing everywhere, man.
White guy turd ass rap song that was auto tuned to shit. It was the worst. That's the worst song ever made. That song specifically,
probably the worst current musical act running like of any genre, in my humble opinion.
There you go.
Also wildly popular, so there you go. But yeah, like dudes like Kenny Chesney or Keith Urban, whenever dudes like that go to play a big municipal stadium, like it's a huge fucking event. It always sells out. It's fun to read the police reports from these kinds of events because you have nothing but just the most white trash motherfuckers like drinking themselves into a coma and then trying to start fights. You remember Riley Cooper, the Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver. His statements made at a Kenny Chesney concert, right?
Yep, I remember those.
These people get real drunk and real racist real quick. He was offering to fight any slur for black person at a Kenny Chesney concert. Like, good job offering to fight no one.
Yeah. Very tough guy.
it is important to point out that a lot of the people you mentioned are still like pop music. It is still pop stars, just with a little twang to it.
Well, I would offer that all popular country or all mainstream country music made since like probably '80s or '90s it would essentially fall under pop music, because like I'm trying to think about what her name was. She was on the soundtrack for Con Air. It was a number one hit for a long time.
I know who
was
mean.
It Leanne Rimes, I think.
I think so. How Do I Live Without You?
Yeah, yeah. Because Leanne Rimes started her career like as a throwback. I'm trying to remember the woman who did Walking After Midnight, like a real 60s style country ballad type thing. And then like within an album cycle, it was immediately like this huge process pop music material that, like, I don't know, if you listen carefully, you might hear like a hint of slide guitar or banjo somewhere in the background. But really, it's pretty much the same shit.
Yeah, you know, there's no more Linda Ronstadt. It's just a pop star with an acoustic guitar going on to American Idol and then hitting it big.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's big doing all of the shit. The CDs are sold at Walmart and they sell a lot of copies. You know, this is a genre that's really old people like, in addition to, you know, alcohol addicted 19-year-olds.
So, yeah, your 2005 run-of-the-mill Ford F-150 probably still has a perfectly good CD player in there.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
Yeah, I think it's just like with those people you mentioned, and you know, you could throw in Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish, even yeah. Aaron Lewis from Staind, who now does the "I'm just a country boy, don't take my guns."
Least shit. Fucking country guy in the world. Least I have an intimate experience with where he comes from. There's nowhere less country. He's full of shit.
Yeah, got a you know, those stars and bars flying high and proud above New Hampshire.
Right. Yeah. Up my dirt road, we live by a Jewish doctor in a big house.
By the university.
Fucking asshole.
So those people, my point was, those people have kind of found their people. Niche. Those artists, those musicians have made the transition from whatever they used to do, and then everyone stopped caring, and now they can kind of do their little solo stuff, but I question, can the guy from Godhead really do the same thing, or can David Vincent really do the same thing? Like, eventually they're just going to be playing, like, the local dive bar with their acoustic guitar and maybe getting a handful of people who remember their old band willing to check them out.
I think in terms of outlaw country or somebody with some sort of metal persuasion or hardcore persuasion, I could be totally wrong about this, but he just gives me that vibe. I think in the hipper markets, King Dude is more of a thing. And I don't know if maybe some metal artists.
I've gone out of my way to avoid his music because I hate the name.
Yeah, yeah, as you should. But I wonder if maybe metal artists kind of see how his success has blown up since being some like hip, dark country guy. So they're trying to cash in on that shit somehow. Not that I've heard any of their music, but why would I? Why would I want to see David Vincent with his shitty Dean bass guitar go up and with his cowboy hat and make any sort of music? Good Lord.
I mean, I would go simply out of morbid curiosity.
Yeah, I can get that once, but you're not going to buy, you know, an album. You're not going to go see him multiple times.
Oh, absolutely not.
It's a it's the car wreck on the side of the road. You look at it, you gawk, and then you move on with your life.
Well, I got to figure, if he's playing with I Am Morbid, maybe a couple hundred people show up. If he's doing his country thing, maybe like 30 people show up. That gives me a perfect opportunity to meet him after a show and ask him, like, hey, is it true that you got kicked out of Morbid Angel because you became a fascist and you were trying to convince everybody else in the band to read all this fascist literature? And finally get a definitive answer to that. I'd really like to know that.
Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't know about this until recently, but apparently the older dudes, like dudes that are 40 plus that were around in the day, this stuff never got reported in the magazines or anything like that, but this was the word on the street, and it seems like a lot of people are pretty definitive on it. Apparently even Lemmy of Motorhead said that David Vincent is a no good Nick. And that guy collects Nazi shit.
Yeah.
Or he did. R.I.P.
Yeah, it's been a lot of rumor and innuendo over the years about him, but nothing, like, no article, no interview where we could definitely say, like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. You definitely can't have that much snakeskin on a cowboy hat and that dark of a soul patch and not be a fascist of some kind.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But if there's two things, you know, we did that wonderful interview with Steve Tucker. I'm glad that we got to do that. If there's two things that I want to do with Morbid Angel before the site dies, number one, talk to David Vincent about these rumors about him being fascist. And number two, we set up a Twitch stream with Trey and we play Quake online and millions of people get to watch us.
Yeah, like Quake 3, like the real deal back in the day. this site's never going to die. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I'm definitely not burned out.
I'm so tired.
This is episode 125. Unless this one gets 10,000 listeners, I don't know if we're going to make it to 200.
That's right.
But so, uh, in,
tell a thousand friends.
Yeah, tell a thousand friends, you jerks. In fairness to Jason C. Miller of Godhead, he has been doing the country thing for a few years now, and reading his Wikipedia entry, like, he's had a tremendous amount of success with it compared to, you know, the band itself, Godhead. His music has been featured, like, on SmackDown, in the movie The Punisher that we were talking about a couple weeks ago. He was on Hung, the short-lived Tom Jane television show, also of The Punisher. So he's had some success, and I think that this gets back to what we were saying earlier, why dudes like David Vincent or that fuckstick from Stained would do this, and that it's, number one, it's a lower barrier to entry. Like, you can write songs with cowboy chords. You don't need a drummer that can, you know, adequately do 32 notes double bass.
You don't really need a band.
Yeah, you don't really need a band.
Just yourself. I can see that appeal. But then you have, like, Devil Driver, who just put out a whole album of, like, weird country metal.
We got to talk about that, because I checked it out. Out of curiosity, because they were saying that this was going to be an amalgamation of country and metal, and I didn't believe it. I figured it would be one way or the other, and I was right. It's a Devil Driver record, exactly what Devil Driver sounds like, with shitty blues solos over it. So,
hell yeah.
I don't know what you would get out of that, but Dez Fafara did a bit with Metal Sucks this week, in which he named his top 10 outlaw country songs of all time. So you can get a taste of where he's coming from with his outlaw country roots, and see what inspired this incredible record, Country Heroes is what it was called.
Where eight of the albums Johnny Reb.
That one's gonna go over the heads of a few listeners.
don't look Google. It up at work.
Yeah, don't Google Johnny Reb.
Don't do that. Yeah,
You'll end up on a list somewhere.
Number one, he started with "If Drinkin' Don't Kill Me" by George Jones, and I will be a very upfront. I am a huge George Jones fan. Because I like country music, and I think that George Jones was one of the best to ever do it. He wasn't really an outlaw country artist, though. He played a lot of very pretty songs while wearing, like, a nice press suit. In his personal life, he was a total fucking shit show. He once got a DUI on a lawnmower because he was riding his lawnmower to go get beer after his wife
hit his car keys.
Yeah, I have a t-shirt that I wear all the time. It says "Swerving like I'm George Jones."
Hell yeah. Do we know what kind of ride-on mower was it? Was it like a John Deere or?
Oh, yeah, I have to assume it was a nice one. He made a lot of money over the years. But going back to what Dez said about "If Drinkin' Don't Kill Me," this is very much a sad ballad tune. "If the drinkin' don't kill me, her memory will." And it's like Dez says about this: "This is the track that jams in the back lounge of the tour bus at 3 a.m. when everyone's drunk and rowdy." This is such a sad, low-tempo song. I can't imagine a bunch of dudes like, "Yeah! If the drinking don't kill me, memory will." It's like, no, that's a song that you, like, flush your head in the toilet to. Yeah. So, common bullshit.
Cognitive dissonance there, yeah.
Yeah. But then we move on to some of his other picks for outlaw country classics, and we're taken to "The Gambler" by Kenny Rogers. What do you guys know about Kenny Rogers?
I know that didn't he do that song in the Geico commercial?
I think
he's
been
playing
dead.
Cards.
Yeah, I could have sworn he was dead, but yeah, that I think so. He had a roasted chicken place.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers Roasters.
Yeah. He did a lot of collaborations with, who's that big-titted lady?
Dolly Parton.
Did a lot of stuff with the Grand
Ole... Big-titted lady.
did a lot of stuff with the Grand Ole Opry. Basically was establishment country music in every sense of the word. There was nothing outlawed about the guy. He was just a kind soul that like to roast chicken.
Yeah, he's not very threatening.
Yeah. And the next one on the list, it just it made me like rage quit. For number five on the top 10 outlaw country songs of all time, Outlaw Man by The Eagles. The Eagles weren't even considered country music at the time.
No.
And one listen to a badass drinking anthem like Desperado will let you know all you need to know about those dudes.
They get rowdy on the bus at 4 in the morning to Desperado.
Desperado.
Windows start breaking.
Yeah! Woo! Woo!
Someone fight me!
So, I don't know, in conclusion, Des Far is full of shit. This list is terrible. What the fuck? I got real mad about this for some reason. What were we talking about to begin with?
Definitely Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
No. We were talking about this fucking guy and his terrible outlaw list.
Yeah.
Is there anything else on there that's real juicy, or are we pretty much gonna?
I mean, so he has a Hank Williams song, a Hank Williams Jr. song, and a Hank Williams III song.
I guess he kind of ran out of steam and just had to plug in a couple names.
Yeah.
I might not be a country fan.
Was it like open wide for some football? Was that
open wide for some football?
It's the joke from The Simpsons, but it's actually, I don't think it's Hank Williams, but the Monday Night Football song.
Yeah, that was Hank Williams Jr. Yeah.
Junior. Right.
lubed up for some football. There were several outlaw artists that he could have picked. He did have one Johnny Paycheck song, which works because that guy was in and out of jail for all kinds of things.
So who would you recommend for the metal listeners that have still somehow stuck with this episode? What are like two or three outlaw songs that they should listen to if they're interested? Because I know like nothing about this.
I mean, Merle Haggard is probably the gold standard there, like with the song, like his biggest hit was either the Dukes of Hazzard theme song or Mama Tried. And okay. Mama Tried rules because like the chorus is like, I turned 21 in prison doing life without parole. And yeah, he actually did turn 21 in prison. It wasn't life though. Like he was there for, I think it was aggravated assault or something like that. And
jaywalking.
He was a rough dude.
Moonshine Nixon.
Johnny Paycheck was a cool dude. David Allan Coe, if you can overlook some of the seedier, more racist shit that he did.
And Rebel Meets Rebel.
Oh my god, yeah. I don't know, there were all kinds of dudes that like had bucked this national system that had been in place since like the 1930s. And basically, They lived long enough to be completely exploited by the system they were supposedly working against. But, you know, that's inspirational in a way, too, right?
It's a nice lesson for the kids.
Yeah. If you try to do something different, you go against the grain, eventually you'll be completely co-opted by the very system that you you try to destroy.
You will become the grain.
Yeah. I say fuck outlaw country, be a good American boy, listen to Sons of Liberty.
Which one is that again?
John Schaefer. That's John
Schaefer. Yeah.
Telling you to love the country you're in.
And why wouldn't you?
That's right. What we're saying is John Schaefer is a pussy.
Fight us, John Schaefer.
John Schaefer, come on the show.
God, that would be the worst show ever. Well, not the worst show ever. It would be on the same level as Stuck Mojo.
That was the worst show ever, man.
Look, man, yeah. You guys can't argue with guys like that. You just have to get the worst quotes out of them possible to potentially ruin their career. That's how you as journalists are supposed to do this.
I'm down.
Yeah, that's how it works, is you just coax the absolute worst possible opinions out of someone like that. So if you get John Schaefer on the show, be nice to him as possible and just be like, so what do you mean by that when he says that, you know, there's reptilians masquerading as Jews running the banks or something?
Yeah, what is the word? You gotta hoist them by their own retard.
That's it.
Close enough.
What else did we want to talk about on this episode? My mind is
speaking of
mush.
Speaking of turning any sort of age in prison, I guess our good buddy Tim Lambesis is out, and he's looking to make some new As They Lay Dying music. I don't know if you guys heard it, but he teased like an intro to a song and what looks like about to be a music video. Yeah, it's like swelling guitars just feedbacking, and it's just like a metalcore intro song. I'm sure what's going to happen is it's going to go back to just Tim Lambesis starting the song going, and then it's just going to be like, and then you're going to have an As I Dying track, and I'm sure people will be stoked for it.
And then a chorus of, I did not kill my wife.
You guys got a load of his apology letter, right?
No.
He's very sorry to everybody, and he won't do it again. So, check out As I Lay Dying, guys. He won't do it again.
Well, and he's off the juice now, right? So is he, like, super skinny again?
That's a good question. I haven't seen a recent picture of him. He might be, but, I mean, prison time, man, you don't need juice, you know? There's really not much else to do except pick up heavy shit and put it down. So, he may be as jacked as ever. I haven't seen it.
I don't know. Apparently, his lawyer sent some kind of request to the prison to, like, give him access to whatever weird kind of hormones he was on, because he was developing saggy titties without all of those androgens and testosterones and shit that was keeping him tight and big. So I don't know, man.
You know, that's probably, this entire episode is worth it just to hear that. That Tim Lambesis is out there just trying to make it with like a big old floppy pair of saggy man titties.
Maybe he's tightened up. I don't know, but I think it probably takes him. You're doing so many fucked up and weird things to how your body is supposed to work when you inject yourself with hormones that and testosterone and shit. Like, it just, you basically break how you work naturally. So when dudes like, if a dude like Sylvester Stallone, who's like 72 years old, if he ever stopped like cycling, he would immediately turn into a fat pile of shit and then die within 10 minutes.
Yeah, and he's been pretty open about using human growth hormone too, so I guess good on him. But I recently saw, do you remember Scott Steiner from WCW and WWE?
The biggest pipes in the world.
Big Papa Pump. I mean, disgusting. Clearly on all the stuff. I saw a picture of him like just today of him wrestling some indie event, and he is clearly cycled off. And he still, you know, kind of big, but is certainly looking all of his 50 whatever years. And it's kind of,
I guess, he
sad.
he ripped the muscle in the middle of his sort of, I don't know, that pectoral area, so he's got this big disgusting like titty chasm in between.
Yeah, like someone just put their fist right in his chest.
So now he looks like a saggy grandma when he takes his shirt off. I mean, you see what Arnold Schwarzenegger looks like on the beach these days. It's a real thing. You start with the HGH, you gotta keep up on it.
Nobody stays big forever. It's sad. I was watching a documentary on the World's Strongest Man competition, specifically like the Arnold Classic in Columbus, Ohio. And you see these just absolute fucking monsters, like followed like a Hathor Hafsen or whatever, the mountain dude from Game of Thrones, him lifting like 1,000 pounds over his head, and Arnold is just like looking doughy as fuck next to all of these monstrous men, and like, yes, you do it, you lift the weights.
Well, hey, as long as you still make metalcore, there will be people out there that will like what Tim Lambesis does and will make every excuse possible, saying he paid his debt to society, he did his time, he didn't actually kill anyone, and you're good to go no matter what you look like.
I hope everybody's noting that we had a conversation completely separately about Tim Lambesis and then going nowhere close to anything about Tim Lambesis except the fact that he used steroids. We somehow get on Arnold Schwarzenegger, and in all of this we did not once talk about Austrian Death Machine or the future of said project,
because no one cares.
Yeah, right? I don't care.
That joke ran its course a week after he put out the first song for that.
I don't even think that joke was on a course. I think people thought it sucked immediately, anyone who knew anything. Although, Screw You, Benny is still a great jam.
I gotta wonder if, like, the audience for As I Lay Dying hasn't maybe aged out since Lambesi went to Prizzy. Is anybody going to be interested? Like, because all the other members of the band, they formed, what was it, like Woven War or something?
Yeah.
It's like you already have, like, you have lots of outlets if you need this generic metalcore. Do you really need to go back to this particular guy? I think it's an uphill climb for him to try to rebuild like a tenth of the audience that he had before.
I think there's a lot in a band name. I don't think Woven War ever came close to the success that As It Lay Dying did, as like as much of a cultural force as like metalcore could be. Not to mention they had the Christian market.
Oh yeah.
So it's just when bands break off from kind of their main dude in some way, who pretty much had all the rights to it, and they try to do something totally different with a totally different name, it just never really works out for them in the end. There's that maybe minimal hype train at the beginning of things, but I don't know if it ever becomes, certainly never anything bigger than what they were doing before.
Do you think that the new As I Lay Dying album will be placed on the CD racks at the Family Christian Bookstore?
I think so. I think that a lot of people who tried to kill their wife are probably there already.
Yeah, that's a fair call.
Yeah.
Well, as we mentioned on who knows what episode, yeah, just placement alone at the Christian CD store is going to be enough to probably keep your career afloat, at least.
Yeah, guys, so what you got to do is you got to make Christian Outlaw Country.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think it's a pretty good idea. We should do that. Let's record that album today.
Crotch Monster will make at least one album like that.
I was trying to think. I think it was Bobby Bear Jr. had the song Drop Kick McJesus Through the Goalposts of Life.
Perfect.
Good track. All right, what else we got to get in on this one?
We're an hour in, and don't you have to go?
Yeah, I do. I would like to encourage people to follow us on Twitter, because I like getting notifications that I get new followers. It makes me feel powerful. It's never enough, though. It's just like one little dose of endorphins, and then I need more. Need a lot more. So follow me there at Joe Thrash and Kill. Also follow at 365 Days of Horror, at That's Not Metal, at Toilet of Hell. And subscribe to us on Patreon. Like us on Facebook. If you like this show, tell somebody to listen to it. If you don't like this show, tell somebody to listen to it so you can get revenge on that person by wasting an hour of their time. And yeah, that's what I got, man. How about you?
Always good to close with on an up note. That's what I'd say.
We're real good at self-promotion.
Yeah, it might be time to do some other self-promotion. As in an other self. Someone else.
Oh, gotcha. Jordan?
Nah, I'm good.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll see you later, everybody. Bye.
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 You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.